It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. ITL Fantasy Podcast Network presents... In a world of football podcasts that sounds like this.
Welcome into our podcast on Suck Talk Radio.
And talk like this.
Wah, 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 wah. Don't draft the running back, wah, wah.
Because they're not.
So much fun.
Bogman, let's not overreact here.
The In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. Featuring Bogman.
I'm eating crow here. Yeah, D. Gordon. Oh, f*** you. God damn it.
And the Welsh.
No. We have other things to talk about. I wouldn't wear a yummy t-shirt in either.
Oh, boy. Gotta do my job.
Playing on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
Burn it to the ground!
Coming to your ears. Now.
Welcome in, friends, to the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast with Bogman and the Welsh. That is Scott Bogman on Twitter at Bogman Sports. He's over there. I'm over here, right here. No, over there. I'm Chris Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. And today, it is an ITL special football player debates. We are go away debating.
Go away debating.
We've got player debates for you, and we have got some of the latest news as we are recording this on cut day, NFL cut day. The NFL is about to kick off, as we're recording this, roughly 9 days from now. No more preseason, with one final draft weekend slash like Labor Day, Monday. Like, I know you guys over that little time, 3 or 4 days. But this is the last bit of drafting, which, oh, I don't know, by the events of the last couple days, might have done you some good to have not had it last weekend or the weekend before. And some of those guys are on the docket today that we are going to be debating. So we've got all the latest news on the cuts and some of the outcomes from them. And we have got a whole bunch of player debates that you guys are going to love, I think. And we've also polled the audience for your upcoming drafts this weekend. Oh, hi, Bogman. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm mad at you. You know, because you tweeted the Aggies and Sooners correspondent from my Fantasy Pros blurbs that I was writing. And then today, when I tweeted about Mark Ingram versus Philip Lindsay, I got someone underneath it saying, is this a Ravens tweet now? Like, you know, so I'm getting these comments, of course. But, you know, other than that, I'm doing
Baltimore
okay,
Ravens correspondent. Yeah, oh. It made me really happy. So if people don't know, Bogman is now doing some stuff for Fantasy Pros. He's slowly leaving ITL. So probably in the next, you know, 12 to 14 months, he'll be completely done with me.
And or written dead. Off.
Yeah, one of the two. Either way, it'll be done with me. It's all about me. But he's doing a couple things. You're podcasting for football side and IDP on Fantasy Pros, which I know a lot of people want. And it's good exposure for you. And it's with our boy Pizapia. But what's better... it's much better is Bogman's also doing something that he hates, and it's writing, and I hate writing as well. And he's doing some blurbs for Fantasy Pros. It's actually Betting Pros, and he's doing blurbs for the college side, and they started up, but go look at my tweet, and you have to be a purist in this league to understand how great the tweet is, but there's nothing Bogman hates more than the Sooners. I mean, it's like a jambalaya. It's a little bowl of like, here's some Ravens, here's some Bengals, here's some Sooners, here's some Aggies, and put it all up in a stew and eat all your hatred out. That's what Bogman is. And Bogman, as you put blurbs out on things, the caption, the byline goes, correspondent Scott Bogman, and you put out Sooners information, and it went Sooners correspondent Scott Bogman. Put that on a goddamn shirt tomorrow.
See, so I've learned something yesterday, and it's that, you know, I what I did was I'm, you know, covering some of these games this week to see if the line shift or anything. And the Sooners game, because of Hurricane Ida, they're going to play Tulane in New Orleans this opening week. And the Hurricane obviously has.
Don't you want to not play in New Orleans?
Well, yeah, that's exactly the point. So they're not playing in New Orleans.
Oh, I thought you said they were playing in New Orleans.
Well, they were going to. The original game was scheduled to be played in New Orleans is Oklahoma at Tulane, and the game got moved. So I asked those guys, I'm like, do I need to put this on both teams' blurbs or just pick one? And they said, I'll just pick one. I'm like, I'll just pick the more popular team. I guess I'll, you know, so under the Sooners, I said, you know, this game is going to get moved and blah, 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 blah. I wrote my blurb. And then when I posted it, I went to go look at it just to see what it looks like on the site. And it says, Sooners correspondent Scott Bogman, and I was
and to top it off, there's an Aggies one.
So yeah, I mean, Aggies. I picked the Aggies and Kent State game.
Please
as well.
Keep doing that. Please,
yeah.
Keep doing
I also picked the Texas game, so it does also.
You were
the Texas correspondent for me,
but like to the point for you. Like I said, it is top four or five of hatred. Are those teams so much so that there's a football podcast, but. On the baseball side, about 2 years ago, on the backfields of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Archie Bradley, who was a closer for the Diamondbacks, he was a Oklahoma quarterback recruit. He was going to play quarterback there, but you know he was pulled away by the Arizona Diamondbacks, and he is a whole nother sordid history with Bogman. I got him to sign a ball, and I asked him, and I said, "Will you write Go Sooners?" And he looked at me. He goes, "Well, usually I don't personalize or do anything personalized on balls, but you know what? For that, I will." And I then presented Bogman with the present, and he confirmed in a picture that he still has the ball. So confirmed.
I mean, I
Oklahoma
told you like a year
Sooners
ago
correspondent
that I threw it away just to make you mad. I never threw it away. So
it's right there.
You know,
Go Spooner. Yeah. So Spooner correspondent, Scott Bogman in the house. Correspondent, Go Spooners. We got a lot going on in the episode today, but I will tell you, with all of that stuff, we want you to come and check us out at patreon.com/ITL Army. And you know, want to know why it is so fantastic to do that? Because it's the first of the month. Get up.
I don't know the
sign
words.
Sign up on Patreon because it's the first of the month. So you have the entire month ahead of you. So it's not like you came in on like the 20th or 25th or something like that. And then you popped on and then it's like a week later. You sign up today. You have the entire month ahead of you. Why is that good as well? Because if you got drafts this coming weekend, our rank update is dropping on Friday in lieu of all of this. And we are going to continuously be updating that throughout the weekend. So you can keep checking it. If any, you know, crazy things happen, like, you know, guys walking his dog and tears his ACL or something. I mean, that would be a baseball move, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Updated ranks there. Bogman has also got, I don't know if you're going to give it a little coat of paint or not, but Bogman's got the Superflex ranks, the Dynasty ranks, the IDP, all available on Patreon as well. Does that have a coat of paint? Or
the
is
Dynasty
it
doesn't, but everything else does.
Okay, yeah. So coats of paints are all over. If you want ranks for your upcoming weekend, boom, roasted. If you want to come and hang out with us in live streams, whether it's me doing a break event where we got autograph stuff or Bogman live streaming during some of the games, we've got that. Boom. Roasted. We've also got Comedy Secret Shows, which we have a couple coming up this month. Group Me Rooms to hang out with us. And I'm telling you, the Group Me Rooms will be incredibly, incredibly helpful, especially for, you know, just bouncing off and getting some votes on maybe some of the moves you have and you have access to us and a whole bunch more. And you're supporting Bogman and I. Boom, roasted. If you want to check us out. So patreon.com/ITL Army. Come and do it. September's a great time. All the time is a great time. But the first of the month, it's really for the people that are on the fence. If you've been on the fence about it and you're looking for that opening, you know, on that two gap, boom, there you go. Do it. patreon.com/ITL. I don't know why I was doing, because we were talking about Boom Roasted last night and it was just in my head. So
boom, roasted.
The Boom Roasteds are there. We've got player debates that are going to be coming up and we polled the audience. Want to remind people, starting next week, we are going to the normal feed, the normal episodes where we are going to have an episode for you on Thursdays. And we've got some great stuff planned on the normal episodes outside of just guests, of course. But we are going to be having, you know, looks at for the week. We've got a new segments in there. But the thing I'm here to tell you about is, and to remind you, voicemails. Voicemails are back. If you want them to stay, you got to send them in. Every Thursday episode, we will be hitting the voicemails. We record those on Wednesdays usually, so you have until Wednesday morning. You can live react to things that happen over the weekend. You can get in your fantasy question, your start and sit, trade, whatever it is. Send the voicemail to itlballbag@gmail.com or inthisleague@gmail.com. Maybe that's the one.
Yeah, go to inthisleague@gmail.com.
Because I manage them. So
yeah, I refuse to manage them. So the Welsh does it.
inthisleague@gmail.com. You just record your voice, 60 seconds or less, and send it in. Get it in the episode. We want at least six a week. So make sure that you're sending them in or we'll scrap the segment. But it's a chance to for you to be heard. And if we get, you know, hopefully we're turning away questions because there's so many. But whatever it is, trades, everything, that'll be a part of the Thursday episode. So just wanted to remind you guys about that. Let's talk about some news and notes on Cut Week. And then we are going to get into our player debates, which we have polled the audience. And I think there's some really, really good ones. Cam Newton is gone.
Sawyer.
Worst text to wake up to in the history of ever is a Joe Pisapia, I told you text. And we woke up to the goddamn Joe Pisapia text because I got to give him credit, dude. He nailed it. That was when he said on our show. And then when I was on Bold Predictions with him, which by the way, I love because Fantasy Pros is now retreading that video that I was on. So I'm just getting some extra pub. Joe said this at the beginning of the year. And I was like, Joey, I mean, Mac already, they got to give Cam some run first. And he was GIF tweeting us and celebrating all day long because Mac Jones is the quarterback from day one and Cam Newton is looking for a brand new gig, probably in Dallas or something.
I love it too, because I have Mac Jones as another QB option in three sports. So, I drafted him kind of thinking, I guess we'll wait part of the year, you know, and now I've got Lamar and Mac and Sam Darnold. So I'm good to go QB in that league. But, you know, really, it was this last week that did Cam Newton in. It was the screw up that he had because he's unvaccinated and had to miss 5 days away from the team. And Mac Jones, really,
you think that's what it was?
I don't know that that was everything, but that was the last straw.
My point, I don't
100% positive.
Okay. Because see, I don't care about, and I'm not interested in any of the conversations around vaccinated, unvaccinated, but like,
yeah, it has nothing
five
to do with
days. Do we think 5 days?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, as a guy who was with the system all year last year,
yeah,
has respect by a lot of teammates. Did those 5 days put the team over to be like, you know what, let's go Mac.
I think that it had become closer than expected leading up to that point. And then when that happened, and you know, they were talking about this on NFL Network today, and it's, you know, we're not giving our opinion on vaccinated or unvaccinated. It's just the fact is that no team is really interested in an unvaccinated quarterback because you can't, if you are close contact or whatever, you're gone for 5 days and you really can't have that in the NFL, man.
Carson
you just
is
can't
currently going, actually going through this right now. Right. As well. And he's also so
right. So Jay and Sam Ellinger, you know, tore up his knee a little bit. So he's going to have meniscus surgery. So Jacob Eason is like their only quarterback for week one. If Carson Wentz doesn't get back in time, he can get back in time, but we'll see if he does.
That's an interesting take because I kind of think like if I'm with you on this could have been the final straw. But if anybody thinks like everything,
well, Mac
was good,
earned it. I'm not trying to sit here and say that Mac didn't earn it. He absolutely.
Why would they even
this.
Say that? I was going to say like the final straw makes more sense than someone being like, oh, well, this they decided to cut him because of just this. Like, oh, if it's the final straw of things, if Mac was playing good, they still don't think Cam has the offense. Maybe there's some antic things they don't like. Who knows? And then this, okay. But if Cam was the guy moving forward and then this thing happened where he misses 5 days and they cut him, that seems unlikely. But maybe the real piece of all of this is not the discussion of Cam, it's that Mac earned this. And
yeah,
we knew what would happen is as soon as Mac is a quarterback, Cam Newton was gone off of this team. And I had said, I think in the beginning, if Mac Jones is the quarterback from day one, there's 0.0% chance Cam Newton would be the backup in that instance.
Yeah.
They would cut him, and that's what's happened. And Mac, okay, so for you, I saw lots of discussions around it. What does that do for Mac Jones? Where does that put him? Is he a QB2, a low-end QB2 in Superflex? Is he still a QB3? That was a big discussion I saw the Fantasy Pros guys going around. I still don't see how he cracks the top 20.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to float in that range. I haven't moved him yet because this obviously just happened a couple hours ago. But looking right now, I think I'm still going to have him. You know what? Here's how
I did my move, and I have my numbers. I'm curious what you're going to say.
I think I could put him at 24, which would make him just inside a QB2.
That's funny. I put him at 25. That is where my QB is. So he's like a, you really miss out in Superflex, QB2, maybe a top type of backup. I mean, there's a lot of things intertwined in it. By the way, not the worst bet. Also, if you were rookie of the year betting, I know the odds literally went from, I think I saw Brad Evans had tweeted like a couple, it was great timing on his part, a couple hours before that it was like plus 1,000 for rookie of the year on Mac. He bet it. And then 2 hours later, Cam was cut and the odds moved to plus 500 for Mac. So those were pretty good odds. But now, I mean, Mac is put in a spot where, unlike Trey Lance and Justin Fields, he gets to go up against Trevor Lawrence. It's those two guys that get to,
and Zach Wilson.
Yeah, they get to go up against each other. And if you would look at all those teams, the Patriots probably the most likely to actually win games. Not saying they will. Patriots could be dog crap, but you think the Jets or the Jags are better than the Patriots?
I don't, but I do think their offenses are better than the Patriots. Just as far as weapons go, I think obviously Trevor Lawrence has a ton of weapons. I don't think that's arguable at all.
I know what you're saying, but
Nelson Aguilar is your number one wideout.
Well, I think Jacoby Myers is good.
Give me a break. Jacoby Myers better. Jacoby Myers would be fourth on the Jaguars wide receivers. LaVisca, DJ Chark, and Marvin Jones.
Okay, let me put it like this. I think the Patriots' offensive weapons is built for the Patriots' offense. And if Mac is efficient, he's going to make those guys work and they can win games. Like Trevor Lawrence will statistically outbeat him. That's not a question. Zach Wilson, we'll see. I think Zach Wilson's team is dog crap, but if you have 9 wins under Mac Jones and you have a combined 6 wins between Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones is going to walk away with the rookie of the year. There's no argument. I mean, unless Trey Lance comes in week three and they win 14 games or something.
I think, you know, if Wilson or Trevor Lawrence just go absolutely crazy with stats, but they're still losing games, you know, then you could still, there's just a lot of hype around Lawrence.
Rookie quarterback leads the Patriots to the playoffs after last year. I don't know. I mean, it's a beside the point.
Sure.
You and I both have him as a in the 20s quarterback, a low QB2 to a high backup quarterback now that he's moved in. But I did move Mac above Zach Wilson. And I won't.
That. No, okay. No, because look, I think just speaking in terms of fantasy and what you just said, the roster for the Jets specifically defensively is still garbage. And they're going to have to play catch up in a lot of games. So Zach Wilson's going to eat up a lot of, you know, garbage time and stuff. Whereas the Patriots are looking like a 500 team and they may get way fewer spots to go, get those garbage time yards and stuff. A lot of handoffs to Damian Harris, a lot of handoffs to Ramondre Stevenson at the end of games to kind of grind out the clock.
James White for touchdowns.
Okay. I mean, are we doing a bet?
What is our bet? Patriots have a better record than the...
No. Are you serious?
Well, what's the bet?
You think I would bet you that the Jets would have a better record?
Are you just saying overall fantasy points? Zach Wilson or Mac?
I'll do overall fantasy points, or I'll do rookie of the year voting between Zach Wilson and Mac Jones. Who finishes higher in voting? So neither one of them have to win it. Trevor Lawrence can still win it. But I'll take Zach Wilson over Mac Jones as far as rookie of the year votes go.
Yeah, sure. I'm not a big Mac Jones guy, but I just think that I think the Jets are awful.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the Jets are very good, but they got a new coach and they could work a couple things out here. So,
let's do that one. Cam, on the other end, a couple teams poking around. The Dallas one was really interesting, that the Cowboys might be interested to have a really good viable backup. Cause I believe during cut day, they cut all other quarterbacks but Dak Prescott.
No. I think the Cooper Rush is still there, but Garrett Gilbert is gone, who was the backup last season. And, of course, they had Andy Dalton, too. So I think that's a good spot for him. I mean, Dak clearly isn't 100% yet. So, I mean, it's, you know, this is the thing, too, is Cam Newton has to take 5 days to get into anybody else's facility because he has to go through all the protocols and stuff. So, yeah. You know, it's going to make it more difficult.
He's got to sign really quick if he wants to be active.
He'll sign. I bet you he'll sign by the end of today somewhere else. So
there's also I don't want to talk about this from like a big perspective because obviously the Dobbins news is bigger. But like, I don't understand what's going on with Deshaun Watson. And I would throw this out here because, you know, what we're getting is essentially that the Texans are going to put him on the active roster and make him inactive every single, like, so he's going to be on the 50 man, I'm sorry, but he'll be inactive every single game day. He'll collect checks and not play him. And it's the weirdest, stupidest thing on the planet. But here's what is weirder. Apparently, Deshaun Watson nicks the idea of being traded to the Eagles. He will not waive. And apparently, the Dolphins are enamored with him. And NBC Sports Edge has, you know, the report out there that apparently, regardless of whatever, I said apparently 400 times, whatever Deshaun Watson has done, Stephen Ross, quote, really wants Deshaun Watson. And there's still this trade stuff. And like the demands that Texans have on Watson is absurd. It no longer seems like it's even around Tua Tagovailoa. So I don't get what is happening. Not that Cam Newton is a good quarterback, but all these teams are like, oh, we want Deshaun Watson. Why don't you just, I mean, Cam is kind of a, I don't know what you want to say about him. Diva or whatever, just he's unlikable in some respects, but wouldn't you just rather have that type of a diva than Deshaun Watson? I mean, Watson's talent is great, but that guy, their own team would rather put Tyrod Taylor out there when the NFL has not put him on the exempt list, and they're just going to let Watson sit and they will not play him.
Yeah, I don't understand. I understand the Texans sitting Watson. That's optics, right? You know, if he's found guilty of this stuff, you don't want to be the guy that had him out on the field.
Get him off the team. Don't just.
That's what I think too. But I don't understand a team wanting him. Like, yes, the skill is there, obviously, but if you're Miami, just let Tua just give him a year. You know, just let him try. And if you still want Watson, and he comes out clean from all of this grossness in a year, then go trade for him. But don't keep putting it out that you want Watson when you have a starting quarterback that you need to get some confidence to. So I just don't understand this at all.
Can you imagine if they traded Tua for Watson? I mean, the latest trade thing you said was some absurd trade.
It was like three first rounders and 2 second rounders.
That's ridiculous. I don't get why the Texans at this point are just get rid of him, get him off of your plate. You have not get anything you can get. Oh, will someone give you a second? It sounds like the Dolphins might give you a second. Just take 1 second, take a third. Who cares? Take anything you possibly
hell, can. Ricky, you could even take a fourth or fifth.
I just don't understand why we have all this Watson stuff. And why would he not go to Philly? Like, why would he be like, oh, that's not the team I want to go to?
I don't get that
at all. Feel you have a better chance. You'll never start because of Jalen Hurts. It's just the quarterback stuff is so weird right now. And I feel like Cam is kind of enthralled because this is the only viable quarterback that's on the market right now. And if the Eagles are really looking and the Dolphins are looking and the Cowboys, there actually might be some type of a battle out for it. But it feels like if there's any place Cam would go, would probably be Dallas at this point.
Yeah. I mean, Dallas feels pretty good. I think, you know, you said it in the offseason as well. I think last year, Denver. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater absolutely and Drew Lock are not great. So I think Denver could be a viable option. Or, you know, Cam might just say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to take a month off and I'm going to wait for somebody to tear up their knee at the quarterback position and then I'll come riding in. So
that could be the case. That actually really could be the case. But, you're going to miss some paychecks out. And I don't know. It's such a weird situation. But either way, Mac Jones is the new guy. Deshaun Watson is still being floated around. But I would be shocked if it almost just seems like the Texans are just like, we're just going to hold. We're going to hold and see and see what happens. And we'll just let the cards lie. It's like a gamble. It's like, well, you know, stock's moving down, but we're going to hold on and we're going to just see if we can improve this thing. It's a weird play, but it's even weirder that like, Watson won't go to Philly and that the Dolphins really want him. I just don't know what's going on. Why you want to do your drafts as late as possible was shown when J.K. Dobbins was out for the season. Yeah. J.K. Dobbins' season-ending injury on his ACL, and that was pretty brutal. That is now the second back in as many weeks that we lost. We lost Travis Etienne, which moved James Robinson up to a top 20 back. And we've now lost J.K. Dobbins, who, you know, for most was probably a top 18 or so. I had him really high. And now Gus Edwards becomes the guy. And there's a bunch of questions that are kind of in line with this, because when it happened, it was Todd Gurley had made a visit and people questioned Gurley coming in. But then the Ravens kind of pushed that down, saying he's not an option. And then we also had Tyson Williams, who like jumped over everybody and became
Justice
the number,
Hill, yeah,
over Justice Hill, which, because it kind of became a, could Gus be JK and is Hill going to be Gus Edwards? But Tyson is the guy and he jumped in there. Having him be the number two kind of also speaks to maybe how much they might rely on Gus Edwards. You have been a prominent Gus Edwards drafter, and you and I talked about this for the last year and a half. As great as J.K. Dobbins is, the team is committed to also getting Gus Edwards the ball, and Lamar Jackson takes away. I looked at this situation, I go, man, Gus Edwards has never looked better than ever, and we have got a Gus Edwards debate for the ages for you coming up in the player debates, but, you know, how high or how faded are you on Gus Edwards? Because I have seen multiple other analysts just have zero interest. Like, okay, cool. Gus is like another guy, but you know, it's going between like a near 20 back to a guy that's maybe an RB 3. I mean, what do you think shakes out with Gus Edwards moving into the J.K. Dobbins role?
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously his stock has to come up because he's going to get more attempts. It's just clear, you know, Dobbins is done for the year, but like you said, they're going to use multiple backs in this system. This, you know, it's never going to be just Gus Edwards gets the run. You know, he's never going to be like a Derrick Henry, you know, almost a Travis Henry. I don't think he has nine kids, but you know,
Travis Henry. What happened?
I mean, I don't. But you know, he has to come up. Tyson Williams moving ahead of Justice Hill was a little strange to me. Like Tyson Williams, I can never get a real good grip on. I think he played for like three or four different college teams. He transferred a bunch, and he's fine, but he's like you know, I don't know. He's like a grinder back, kind of what I thought Gus Edwards was coming out of Rutgers. So, but Justice Hill is going to have a role here too, but he's more of a scat back. So I think this is going to end up looking a little bit like Chicago last year, where you have your main guy in David Montgomery and you want him to get this gigantic run, and he'll have some big games, but most weeks you're coming out disappointed in what he did because yeah, they used him, but then Tyson Williams scored the touchdown or Justice Hill, you know, caught a touchdown or, you know, Lamar ran two in and he didn't get anything. Like it's going to be one of those weird, you know, situations for all these backs because they're all going to get used.
I'm kind of a Gus Edwards buyer right now because I'm not sure, similar to what happened with James Robinson. I don't know if there's enough people that have adjusted and made the adjustments where, you know, what he could provide for where he's being drafted has really caught up. Like James Robinson is getting there where he's relatively consistently going top 18, but like right when it happened, you know, he could still slip into the 20s. I think Edwards has the potential to get some significant carries. And I think he also has the potential to be heavy in the goal line. You know, I mean, Lamar has definitely made a concerted effort to be a passer. I don't know how much at the end of the day, they're always going to want to rely on short yardage Lamar, you know, getting smacked within a couple yards, and Gus is perfect for that. So, you know, could Gus Edwards be a 280 carry back and 1200 yards? Probably not, you know, not with how this team works and Lamar, but is there a chance that he could close in on 1,000 yards being more of a primary back and maybe get double digit touchdowns? Yeah, I actually think that is a high possibility. Fantasy Pros projections are really interesting. They haven't taken off Dobbins, but it looks like Gus has adjusted. So I think this is like one in the same. Originally, Dobbins was projected at 203 carries, under 1,200 rushing yards, just under, and 11 rushing touchdowns, Boggs, with another 200 yards receiving. So I just don't think it's not one and one right now. Those were Dobbins. Now here are Gus Edwards' new projections. 220 carries. So he's projected more carries than Dobbins was. Just over 1,000 yards. 1,500. I'm sorry, 1,054. Another 128 receiving yards. So just shy of 1,200 total yards. 8 rushing touchdowns, 8.2 to be exact, and 0.7 receiving. So that would be roughly 9 touchdowns, 1,200 yards with a couple receptions. So he's got a little bit of Damian Harris in that. Like, he's probably not going to be a primary receiver.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of goal line touchdowns if they're efficient. He's going to get early down carries. I think Gus Edwards is a low, low, low RB2 right now.
I just love that this has made everyone mad at Harbaugh. So, well, because the Ravens are 20, they've won 20 straight preseason games or something. So Harbaugh puts more emphasis on the preseason or whatever. And
I saw the meme.
Got a guy hurt. Like, so
you won your 20th preseason game. What did it cost? And it was
J.K. Dobbins. Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, obviously kind of funny to me, but it sucks for Dobbins, man. Yeah. And I mean, it's good for Gus Edwards, but I don't know, man. His price, I think, is going to, it's going to balloon up to where I may not want to take him.
It's possible, but you know, I don't think there's a lot of time for that to readjust. So it's like, when you say his price could balloon, there's no more time. It's just draft this weekend. So
drafts that we're doing, we're not drafting with rubes and boobs. Like, you know,
yeah,
we'll have one draft with rubes and boobs, but every other draft should be, you know, guys that know what they're doing. So,
but I still think in the territory where Gus Edwards starts to go, I don't think there's that many guys that are like, I mean, I know you're such a Mike. We can talk about this with Mike Edwards or with the debate we're going to do.
Mike Davis.
Yeah. Mike Davis is who I'm looking at. Like, you're a stand for Mike Davis, but I don't think Mike Davis, outside of maybe a little bit of volume, you could argue is a better option. I think Gus Edwards is going to be able to touchdown guy, but we'll talk about that in the debate here coming up. Some news and notes to blow through. Dak, good to go for week one. So there you go. Thumbs up. Kenny Golladay has yet to return to the Giants practice, which is not great. So
don't like that, because it's been like 25 or 26 days, unless he returned today. I'll check. But, you know, it's been like 25 or 26 days, and he was originally given like a 3-week diagnosis here. So, you know, yeah, still says he has yet to return. So
it feels like one of those things that could happen too, where, you know, if he were to be active, it might be in a limited role offensively, right, in the first week. So I'm not sure he's going to be a great start, even if he's active week one, because they've got other options. You know, they've got
they've got a ton of options.
Yeah, Barkley's back. So, like,
Golladay is by far the most paid on that roster.
Yeah,
now,
no, for sure. But that's also why it's one of those things. If he's healthy, like, how much do you trust week one with this injury that's lingered?
Here's what I think will be nice about him is that, like you said, going into this,
the Niners, by the way, sorry, I didn't mean to, or no, that's a good Lions. That's Lions.
But going into this weekend for your drafts, he's going to have like the little cross or the red flag or whatever next to his name. So that will make him drop in drafts, which will be nice. You could probably get a discount on him coming in because it looks like right now he might not play week one.
He's been a discount for weeks. T.Y. Hilton is going to miss multiple weeks with a neck injury, which really leads to the excitement about Michael Pittman. There's also a big Paris Campbell crew that's out there. Pascal is on the COVID list right now with Carson Wentz. So take that for what it is. But Michael Pittman, we've got a Pittman debate here, but breakout season. Also on the Giants front, we should have this with that. Ingram left the last preseason game with a calf injury.
Yeah.
So we do need to watch that. If he's not active again, that would be a whole nother thing. Imagine if Golladay and Ingram are not out there, you know, that's cheap options maybe on
Sterling Shepard looking nicer.
Yeah. So. I mean, I always like Shepard, but you know, Irv Smith is going to miss the start of the season after a meniscus surgery, which weirdly had like the fantasy analyst community like upset, and it's just like, ugh.
Irv Smith was a big, like, you know, was a big sleeper tight end for a lot of people, but you and I were never just on that train.
No,
you
know? But also, like, he's fine, but it's so funny because it's like, I feel like so many analysts were talking out of both sides of their mouth. Everyone's like, hey, draft the high tight end, draft a tight end, reach for a tight end, reach for a tight end. And then Irv Smith, and they're like, no. And it's like, what are you talking about? You weren't reaching for Irv Smith. Maybe he was your last
everyone who took him in the Scott Fish Bowl is very upset.
Yeah, so. It sounds very much like multi tight. It's like Jonnu Smith and Irv Smith were the two exciting ones. You mentioned it. Ellinger is going to be out 5 to 6 weeks with an ACL sprain. So Jacob Eason would be the guy if Wins can't go, but I think he'll be good. Mark Ingram was the first running back in the rotation for Houston again. And we are going to set up a Mark Ingram debate in this one because they even made a full commitment that it is a true committee. Someone we haven't been throwing into the mix, Rex Burkhead, is there. And guess what? Burkhead screws everything up everywhere, always has, never will not. They are a true four-headed monster, which has made me cool on my excitement and a potential reaching of Philip Lindsay in drafts because Ingram was coming out the gates to start. And you have a... We're going to get into
the Texan situation is FUBAR.
Yeah, you don't want to do it, but you've had a take of like, if anybody, Ingram is an interesting person you should be looking at, but people are going to be looking at those guys. Devin Singletary started over Zach Moss again in the last preseason game, which is so much fun.
Concerning. It was weird too, because Singletary went and played in the first, he played in that first run, but he didn't get a carry. I think he had like one target, didn't catch it, whatever. And then they bring in Zach Moss, and Zach Moss had like 4 or 5 carries and a catch, right? So it was like, okay, so Singletary is your starter, but Moss gets all the work. So what the hell is happening here? I just still can't figure it out. It's very strange.
Yeah, I mean, it's another just one of those unfortunate ones to try to deal with. John Brown ran with the second team for Vegas. So watch that.
It's just, you know, John Brown was listed kind of as a sleeper, but it's been Ruggs, Edwards, and Renfro going for as far as first team reps go for Vegas.
I mean, Ruggs is the only guy I'm interested outside of Waller, like on that. Well, I like Jacobs, but as far as receivers go, I'm really only interested in Ruggs anyways. Deep leagues, you know, just don't go to the Raiders. Speaking last week, Sean McVay had maintained that Daryl Henderson was still going to be a pretty big, heavy role. That's the Sony Michel stuff. So monitor it. I mean,
well, what he also specifically said was, yeah, Daryl Henderson's role is not going to change, which okay. I thought this was weird the way that Roto-World, put this out, because this sounds like he's trying to defend him. But he also said, yeah, his role's not going to change. So, yeah, you know, Sony Michel to me is clearly the backup. I don't know what, you know, Schefter threw in his 2 cents and said that Sony Michel is probably going to end up being the starter for the Rams. I don't think that's true at all.
Yeah. And he's like, you don't trade for him if he's not going to be blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you do. You trade a 6th round pick for a backup, anything. It's fine.
The Patriots probably also don't trade off like a really, really viable running back to another team when Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson are the backs, if Sony Michel was that good. So I think it's a little overblown, which actually leads to a really interesting question. Let me ask you real quick. Daryl Henderson or Gus Edwards?
Oh, Gus Edwards. I'm not in on Daryl Henderson that much.
Okay, well, that's good for people to know. And Jameis Winston officially won the starting job, so I thought it was going to be Taysom. Jameis gets it. It's not a bad way to go, and he's probably
it's a week one thing. Like, that job is not safe for Jameis.
You know, let me ask you, how many, I mean, I think I know the easy answer, but, like, we have the potential to now have multiple QB packages in the NFL. So it's not just, like, Taysom Hill has a package, but we now know there's a Trey Lance package in San Francisco. I wonder how many teams are going to implement rotating quarterbacks, and is that going to be a new trend in the near future? You know, we're in committee hell now, running back by committee hell, and it seems like more teams. Jalen Hurts did it last year. I guess there were two last year. It was the Jalen Hurts stuff and Taysom Hill, and this year it's going to be Taysom Hill and Trey Lance. Hill will get a little bit of run, and I know you say it's a week one thing. But Jameis Winston having this role, he's got a real opportunity to maintain this the entire year.
He definitely does. He gets the first crack at it, but he comes out and throws 3 picks week one, you know, against Green Bay, and that's a wrap. You know, Taysom Hill comes in after that, and there you go. Now it's who's going to start week two. You know, it's not solidified. What I'm saying is I love Jameis Winston, and I think he should have this job, but he is not sitting on solid ground at all.
Super flex, QB2, Winston or Mac Jones?
Mac Jones.
Ooh, I'm going to go Winston.
Yeah, I mean, I have Winston below those guys because I just, how can you trust him, you know? And that's actually, it's funny that you mentioned Winston because I had Winston at 24. And then when you said, where are you going to put Mac Jones? I went, oh, well, one spot ahead of Winston. So that's why I would have him there. And look, that's a job where you can arguably say that maybe Mac Jones has better weapons outside of Kamara. Of course, Kamara is amazing, but wide receivers, Marquez Callaway is probably your number one in New Orleans right now with Tre'Quan Smith in the mix there. They're not great at wide receiver.
Banged up a little bit too.
Yeah, yeah, he's been banged up. So maybe he'll be good to go week one. I think Chris Hogan is a maybe for week one too. So it's Callaway and Troutman is hurt. So
there was a couple moves. Here's what I wonder. There wasn't anything big and significant, but there were a couple wide receivers that got hit on cut day. Specifically, Travis Fulgham could really play Michael Rashad Thomas Perriman. Role. Perriman. Oh, I forgot Perriman was cut. There's another one. And Anthony Golden.
Anthony Gandy Golden. Gandy Golden.
So there's a couple interesting wideouts that were out there that if I'm the Saints, specifically Travis Fulgham could jump right back in, but why not go and pick up a couple of those guys? So I'm only throwing this out as just a couple extra like fun weapons that could help Jameis Winston, because also they're missing Troutman, which is a little bit of a problem. But be on the lookout for that.
And they're not going to play their first month worth of games at home. This could be a rough year for New Orleans.
Interesting point. With not playing at home could play a little bit of a role. You also are out Troutman. If you are making that like Winston versus Mac Jones debate comparison, I'm kind of in on Winston because I think he is going to sling the ball. And in struggles with this team, I think they are going to keep going with Winston, just, 50 pass attempts. But, if he struggles too bad and the team loses, they probably will move off quicker than like Mac Jones isn't going anywhere. So that argument actually makes a really good case why Mac Jones might be better as a QB2 and super flex. But I guess as an aside, watch for guys, maybe a Travis Fulgham, a Perriman going to New Orleans, and so they have some more weapons.
I kind of wonder if Taysom Hill has less of that, pocket knife type of role, Swiss Army knife type of role, because they need him to be the backup. And if something happens to Winston,
let me turn this around though. You were actually about to make a point that just blew my mind. What if more than ever, because they're missing all of these weapons, they need Taysom Hill?
I mean, that's on the table as well.
What if they need him to be like a number, like a slot receiver and kind of a scat back type of guy? What if they need that?
You throw one pass to Taysom Hill over the middle and he gets his ribs cracked open because Jameis Winston hung him out to dry, and then Winston throws three picks. Who's your quarterback? That's the question. So Sean Payton has a lot of, it's got a lot of deciding to do.
I'm kind of also wondering, do you think Taysom potentially with the weapons they have there could be put in a role where he's being primarily used in those ways that he needs to be given flexibility? Actual flex positional stuff in fantasy leagues where you can slot him in as like a wide receiver.
That stuff pisses me off so much. You're not wrong. Remember, because didn't he qualify a tight end for a year or something?
Like utility, like baseball, they do it as a utility guy. Almost everybody plays with a flex spot now. At least giving a guy like that, especially what if he gets like 6 to 7 touches a game that aren't quarterback spots, you should at least give him a flex quarterback/flex. So you could throw him in not a super flex, but a flex position. If not that he's ever going to warrant it, but I mean, seriously, dude, after Latavius Murray seems to be moving away on this team
it looks like they're going with Tony Jones Jr. as the backup to Alvin Kamara, which is,
I think there's a real possibility that you put Jameis in that role and you have Taysom heavily involved in this offense and other spots that might warrant him getting some touchdowns. And we might see 3 for 65 from Taysom Hill with 4 carries for 28 yards and a touchdown. We might see 80 yard days for him that, are beyond just him being a quarterback. Ugh. Something to, I guess, consider. Let's get to the debates. We do. There's some good beat reporter stuff that we'll either get to at the end here or in the episode that is coming up later this week, which we will tell you about at the end of the show. So make sure that you tune in. But it is time that Bogman and I go away debating fantasy football player debates for your upcoming weekend. The big stuff. Right after this.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Player debates, that is an ITL specialty. We wrote some books on it. I don't think we ever did a football book. That would have been fun. But we did we quit way ahead of that. But we do have some baseball players.
We quit while we weren't ahead.
Yeah. Yes. You know what? Fantastic way to put it. Thank you for correcting me there. You're right. Quit while we were far, far behind. But player debates is something that we always like to do. The who'd you rathers. And it's existed from our Bogman and I's friendship when we were, you know, into our early 20s and teens, when I would always present, and I'd make everybody mad in my life by presenting the most ridiculous.
You still make everyone mad.
I do it to this day. I do it. I'll just be sitting there and I'll be like, so if you had to fall off of a cliff, would you rather go down with the car or jump out of the car? And then you'd be like, I'd rather do none. I'm like, no,
I'd rather not
answer.
Be in the car. How can I, is there somewhere where I'm not in the car? No, yeah. You're dying. But do you want to be in the car when you die?
You can risk it going down with the car, or you can just jump out and hit whatever's down there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
what would you rather do, actually?
I think I'd rather jump out of the car, because I think you're almost definitely dead in the car. Like, you know, steering column's going through your head or something.
What if there's no water? Like, if there's water, I think it's easy. You jump out.
I wasn't even thinking that there was water in this scenario. So,
okay. So maybe you're thinking hopefully there's a tree and you just break your arm.
Yeah,
on
a tree or something that can, you know, maybe brace your fall. You know, I don't know, but you're probably dead either way. So just get me out of that car.
Yeah, I suppose. So I guess my love of my love of those questions always turned over to the player debates, and we try to really hone in on them. And we,
by the way,
that
that's the
round.
Least graphic one you've ever asked. That's
yeah,
why
well, I had a
yeah. Oh, you had to comment way down for the show. I understand.
I had a completely different one that was on my mind.
Yep, I'm sure you'll ask me that the second we're done.
So. Oh yeah. It's very pointed. Yeah, 100%. It was a whole thing. But these player debates, they're not just one for ones, because the true fun of the player debates, especially in draft season, and that was our specialty, was going through drafts, is also pitting players up against different rounds. So you can look at values of players, but saying, okay, these are two guys, who would you rather have, except what if you start attaching the rounds that they go into? That brings a whole nother thing. So the first debate up here is titled around all of the big news. We got to do a Gus Edwards one, because to your point, you know, like, he has a potential to get overdrafted, but I think in plenty of places he can be underdrafted, because I don't think there's been enough established time, you know, enough established anything for people to understand where to truly take him every single draft. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think in one league he could go in the third round, another league he could go in the sixth round. He's a wild card. And we pit him up against what I think is kind of another wild card in James Robinson. James Robinson was gifted the role, though we know who he was last year, but it's in a brand new team and offense. He is gifted the role as Travis Etienne went down. He's got a little Carlos Hyde behind him, which can be a problem. And Robinson has had more time at his position of being the number one for people to kind of find a core of where you take him, which is somewhere between RB, let's call it 15 and 20, somewhere in that general range. I think he's sitting at like RB 18. We took him in flex at RB 17, but he costs you what is roughly a third round pick. So we picked up and we went to the Fantasy Pros consensus rank because the ADP doesn't work right now, because the ADP is not on Gus Edwards, but they're completely updated on their ranks. So we looked at the overall, and this gave us some perspective, where James Robinson comes in at 38 on the overall, which is technically a fourth rounder, but I decided in the tweet that I put out to list him as a third rounder because I think that's much more appropriate where he's going. It's more of a third round because people are reaching for running backs. So 38 overall rank, we put him into the third round versus Gus Edwards, who had an overall rank of 60. His ADP was in the 80s. So I put him in the fifth round. That would have been the last pick, I think, in the fifth round was Gus. So I just simply said, who would you rather have this year? Would you pay the third round price for James Robinson or the fifth round price for Gus Edwards? Bogman, I take it to you on both fronts. If you want to do one for one, if you want to say who's the back you'd just rather have regardless of round, give me that. And who would you rather have? Gus Edwards fifth, James Robinson third.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going just straight up, definitely James Robinson. I don't think that's really a question for me.
Are they different tiers? Do you have, are you going to have them in different tiers?
Yeah, they're going to be in different tiers too for me. So we've seen James Robinson take the role of a full-time back and produce with it. We haven't seen Gus Edwards do that. So plus we talked about, you know, how the Jags offense is good, but their defense sucks, which creates a lot of scoring opportunities for that team. You know, but the Ravens run the ball more than almost anybody. So that should produce some for Gus Edwards too. So the value is where it gets interesting because there's a lot of really good players. You're taking James Robinson over in that third round. So that gets it much, much closer. I would say that I would go, if it's a fifth, I'd go with Gus Edwards. If he climbs in that fourth range, I think I'd still rely on James Robinson. So in what you've put forward for us, I would take Gus Edwards in the fifth, but if he moves above the fifth, I'm going with James.
Yeah, because there's a couple other interesting things to put in there. Is you also with the Jags have a new offense, and is everybody's made the claim of why Etienne would be so good was, well, this isn't Urban Meyer's guy. You know, this isn't his guy. That Etienne is, but James Robinson isn't, and this isn't their back. They're not, you know, fully committed. Blah 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 blah. So if you take some of those same, I almost threw up in my mouth. There.
Good Lord. That sounded chunky.
It hurt.
You all right?
If you take some of the same reasoning there and you attach that to James Robinson, you could say that they are not wholly and aligned to giving him every single down, every single time, while also throwing in who is always a problem, Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde always comes in and screws up some of those situations. Plus, I really, truly think LaVisca can be a guy that they might just get the ball in his hands. And it could be end arounds. It could be lining him up in different spots. It's not to say that he's going to have 15 carries or anything, but it's just, do they need to give James Robinson 20 carries for all the reasons we've talked about? No, but I still like James Robinson as well. Gus Edwards, Lamar is probably almost going to be the number one, has a legit shot to lead this team in rushing yards again. And it puts in question, except that I do think Gus Edwards, though he's not a great PPR option, which limits him in PPR, is a guy that's going to get a ton of touchdowns. So straight up, I will also still go James Robinson because he's a good pass catcher out of the backfield, and he's going to supplant some of his value there. But like you said, when you start to put the values in and the rounds, it makes it more interesting. Let me ask you this before I answer. What if James Robinson was a second and Gus Edwards was a four?
No, Gus Edwards. I'm not taking.
Okay, so the two round difference is your biggest factor. If it's one round, whether it's James, what if it's James Robinson?
Well, I love James Robinson
or Gus in the third.
To me, it's not about the two rounds. It's about the guys that you're taking James Robinson over in the second round. There's just no
okay,
way
but
I'd ever do that.
What about James in the second or Gus in the third?
Gus in the third.
Okay, so yeah,
that's
I'm
disgusting for both of them. That's way too high for either of them. So I can't imagine I take either one of those guys in the second or third. I can't imagine taking either one of those guys in the third, to be honest with you. But there's just no way. Whoever's lower in that scenario is who I would take.
So when we look at this third versus fifth, Boggs, I'm really torn on one major factor, is the amount of balls that James Robinson's going to catch and how I want to do this. The problem is I think Gus Edwards can you know, void out all those catches that James Robinson puts in with touchdowns. And they're such a high volume rushing team. You know,
but
what?
If that's the case, then you know what your answer is because you're putting them close.
You're
in
right.
Points.
And it is Gus Edwards. It's going to be Gus Edwards in the fifth round, getting a 2-round value. I'm going to take as well as you because I'm even going to look here. What do you think? And then I want to see what you think the poll is. I'm looking at the projected points on Fantasy Pros PPR, just using them because it's an aggregate of their in their projections and stuff. And there's a lot of good people that have paid stuff and you go use theirs if you want. What do you think the point difference is between James Robinson and Gus Edwards? And what would the difference in favor of Robinson have to be for you to take him in the third over Gus in the fifth? So that's two
questions. Well, it's going to make me change my answer. But I would say it's probably I think the projection is going to be pretty close, like within 25 points.
And what would Robinson have to score over Gus for you to be like, you know what, that third is better?
40 points to 50 points, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay, it's fascinating. So you were you're close on both parts, Boggs. The projections have James Robinson scoring, let me make sure I'm doing the math right, 28 more points than Gus Edwards. So it's close to what you thought, but if you said, you know, James would have to score 40, it's not that far off. But it is about one game total of points. You know, it's extra game of points, which spread out over is maybe only about a point, you know, on the season.
And once again, that goes to, we've seen James Robinson carry a full workload in the season before, and we haven't seen Gus Edwards do it before. So it's not that I don't think Gus Edwards can do it. It's that I don't know that anybody can do it until they do it. You know, playing in the NFL, especially adding this extra game, is absolutely brutal on your body. So, you know, Robinson has done it before and Gus has not.
Yeah. And, you know, it also could take, you know, them being like, oh, this is all good, this is all good. And then they go and trade for Marlon Mack. And you're just right. Like, oh, well, crap. All right. So we're both taking Gus Edwards. What do you think the polling looks like? I did put this out as a poll. I said, consider the round as context. Gus Edwards fifth. Edwards fifth or James Robinson third. What do you think the polling looks like?
You know, it's funny because I feel like.
Remember what you said before.
Yeah, I think it's going to be James Robinson in a walk. But, you know, I feel like if both these injuries happened at the same time, it'd be James Robinson in a walk because we're talking about him. But now that everybody's talking about Gus Edwards, you just see his name pop up so much. I think it's going to be closer to 50-50. So I'll go 55-45 Robinson.
Because we fought about this one because you actually wanted to do Gus Edwards versus Mike Davis. And I really wanted to have James versus Gus. And then we kind of came back around and we finally decided this because your argument was like, well, James, clearly. And then I was like, well, remember, we're going to have context of rounds. So you are right, except on the wrong player. It is 54.5% Gus Edwards over 45.5% to James Robinson. So the agreement when,
and that's what we said we'd want too, you know, we would want getting the 2-round discount. We'd rather have Gus Edwards because it's probably going to be close enough, but straight up, like I said, if Edwards starts to climb into that James Robinson range and, you know, the range of those type of RBs, you know, like, you know, I have James Robinson in the mix with like Mixon and Gibson and guys like that. Yeah. Over guys like Montgomery and Jacobs. And that's the tier that I'm going to move Gus Edwards in, but I will have him one spot below Mike Davis. So, of course.
Yeah, I think it's a close one. And it is, I think it's helpful to consider the context of it because one for one, you guys are all good and you're right. You know, James Robinson would be the leader. If I had asked this without context, James Robinson would have ran away with this. I think it would have been 75-25. But when you consider where you are drafting these guys, it shows how much more likely people are to value Gus Edwards. And you know, you look at some of the projections, how far off are these guys? You know, 30 something points. It's nothing to, you know, it's nothing to scoff at. And over an entire season, you know, I guess it's more like a point or two.
It's like 2 points per game.
Yeah, so. 2 points per game. So it's not nothing. But consider the high volume, consider the touchdowns, and consider there's a 2-round value that Gus Edwards in the fifth is maybe somewhere that you need to look. Bogman, number two, was actually one that you put up.
Yeah, I like this one too. It's my guy Cortland Sutton versus my new guy, Jamar Chase, who I've taken in some drafts and been I took Joe Burrow and Mixon in some of these entry leagues, people start calling me a Bengals fan because I did it in two of them.
Elevator, you know, yeah, the sadness elevator, whatever you call
the,
it.
The escalator of sadness. Escalator, that's right. Sadness. So, Cortland Sutton, who is going in the seventh versus Jamar Chase, who is going in the sixth. And I, these guys are trending in opposite directions, the Welsh, because, you know, Cortland Sutton just caught a touchdown from Teddy Bridgewater. And that's, you know, my, I said, I'm probably going to be lowering Cortland Sutton a little bit because Teddy Bridgewater won the job and he's got a pop gun arm. And Cortland Sutton is a guy that will catch those deep passes. I don't know how often he's going to get targeted for those by Teddy Bridgewater, but he did catch a touchdown from him in the most recent game. Plus, he also hadn't played in the preseason until this last game as well. Jamar Chase looks like he has bricks for hands right now. It's unbelievable. The dude cannot catch anything. The dude can't catch COVID. He's the vaccine because he can't catch anything. So, I mean, the first pass from Burrow in the last preseason game went straight to Jamar Chase. He was open and he dropped it. He dropped the touchdown. He's dropped it. Like, people are taking videos of him in practice.
Best nickname of all time. Jamar Chase, the vaccine.
The vaccine.
Unbelievable. That is the greatest nickname ever because you can't catch it. You can't catch it with Lamar. That is my favorite thing ever. Jamar, the vaccine Chase.
You know, I mean, the dude has been dropping everything. So he is lowering on people's radars. Look, and I've always said this, drops only matter when guys start losing playing time or when guys quit looking their way. You know, the quarterback quits looking their way. Joe Burrow is going to force feed Jamar Chase. So I'm not really worried about him. He hasn't changed that much in my rankings. Cortland Sutton is starting to get worried because of the injury and because of Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know that 1 8-yard touchdown pass alleviates that. It does alleviate a little bit, though. So I put those two against each other. Who would you rather have between Chase and Sutton? These guys moving opposite directions recently.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting one. And I don't know if you just said it, by the way, but the context here is Jamar Chase in the sixth, where he's going, or Cortland Sutton in the seventh. This is important as well. We use the same Fantasy Pros rank, not the ADP here. And Jamar Chase was ranked on the overall 68 and Cortland Sutton 73. So it's only five spots.
And that's first pick in the seventh round versus one of the later picks in the sixth round, but yeah, still around.
Yeah, it's still around. And if anything, Jamar Chase has kind of been a guy that people have reached up for. So I think the context is good of giving one round difference here. You know, Jamar Chase has a lot of stuff working for him, you know, new hot gun, a rapport with Burrow. But I kind of feel like I hearken back to Sutton's teammate in Jerry Jeudy when I go back and look at, you know, how Jeudy was. Like, we thought, okay, you know, Judy's going to come in. They've got Sutton there. They got Fant, but, you know, here he goes. He's a great route runner, but there's an adjustment period in the NFL. And, you know, Jeudy played 16 games and still only marked up 52 catches, just under 900 yards, had a couple touchdowns. He was targeted over 100 times. But now you go and look over in the Bengals and you see two other incredibly viable wide receivers. They've got a running game. They've still got a second year quarterback. And I see there's some still rookie adjustments to happen. Even if you go and look at like CeeDee Lamb, you know, CeeDee Lamb was good, but you've got three other guys. I don't think the Bengals offense is remotely close to what the Dallas Cowboys is. So all I'm getting at is when I look at Jamar Chase, I think there are going to be some struggles, and I don't know how much he's targeted early on. Plus, you get in the bricks. He's projected over 1,000 yards, which would have, you know, would have been better than Jeudy. Touchdowns are a little there, but I think Cortland Sutton is still one of the big goal line guys. I think he's going to put in touchdowns. I don't know if I love him that much more than Jamar Chase, but I like a guy that is more established in the offense. He looked great early on in the preseason when we got that, you know, that one play where it was boom, cut in, touchdown. There you go, Cortland Sutton.
Boom roasted.
I think Cortland Sutton's a better touchdown option. I think he catches more balls. Maybe there's a few more yards for Jamar Chase, but give me a round difference. I'll take Cortland Sutton. I think, you know, Jeudy and Sutton are the primary guys in this offense, and they're going to both get a lot of balls thrown their way as they're going to probably be behind. I'll take a round on Cortland Sutton than I will a rookie wide receiver who's got two guys in front of him with a second-year quarterback. That's just my opinion on it. Give me Cortland Sutton.
I'm going to give you the poll in a second, but I'll throw it back to you straight up between these guys.
Straight up?
Taking the upside on Chase, you're going to stick with Sutton.
You know what? I'm not even sure what my ranks say. I'm going to say Sutton.
Okay.
Let me see who I have. Yeah, and I'm staying true to my ranks. I have Courtland Sutton above him.
Yeah, I've got them in just slightly a different tier too. And just we've seen Sutton do it before, obviously coming off the ACL from last year, which, you know, happened in week two against Pittsburgh. I'm a Sutton guy as well. And the poll here is kind of a landslide. Do you want to guess?
I saw it. So,
oh, you saw it. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to not click on the other ones, but I did click on that one.
It's a nice 69% in favor of Courtland Sutton over 31% for Jamar Chase. And I think the majority of that is this last week of Chase dropping another ball and Sutton catching a touchdown from Teddy Bridgewater. I think that is your main contributing factor in that one.
I want to take a look too, because we were using the rank here just because we felt it was, I thought it was interesting and it created a good story, but I wonder what the ADP shows on Fantasy Pros. It's going to be different in all spots. Yeah, check this out. So Jamar Chase is going on the 27th wide receiver. The highest site he's going is, looks like Fantrax, which is 23, but mind you, keepers and stuff. Well, actually Sleeper. He's going off at 22.
Courtland a lot of Sutton. Risks in Sleeper. Sleeper's ranks are strange.
Yeah, and check this out. Courtland Sutton, 34 at wideout. The 34th wideout. So 26 to 30, there's an 8 wide receiver spot difference. The highest he goes anywhere is RTS Sports, which is wide receiver 27. He does not crack the top 30 in any of these other sites. So we might be selling it short. Jamar Chase might be more of a 5th round wide receiver at some points, where Sutton is still around the 7th. I think maybe some worries on the offense. Give me Courtland Sutton, man. And I think it's another sweep. The audience agrees with us. All right. One more before the break, and then we've got 4 on the other side that are a little bit quicker. We'll burn through. This one has to do, and don't look at the results like I did with yours.
Yeah, I haven't.
This one has to do with the wide receiver battle we talked about earlier with the Colts, where Michael Pittman has the chance to jump in early as a number one with no T.Y. Hilton. Very popular sleeper for a lot of people, especially if you... Yeah, you missed maybe some depth, whether you went early at wide receiver or you went early running back and you're trying to stack some wideouts versus one of the hot, buzzy players. And we've actually mentioned him one or two times already in this episode. Michael Pittman has a rank in his overall in PPR and Fantasy Pros of around 112. We are versing Michael Pittman against Laviska Shenault, who his overall is 88 on there. So, you know, ADPs are going to be relative. So I just did some rounding and I picked the rounds, Bogman. Laviska in the 7th round, which is about where you're going to pay for him, or Michael Pittman in the 9th round. So I didn't even give crazy separation on them, even though you can see what a big separator those ranks are. ADP-wise, Laviska 7, Michael Pittman 9.
It's funny that we did this one. I don't know if I realized it, but you know my rankings, and this is pre-T.Y. Hilton injury as well. I have Laviska at 15, Pittman at 51. So,
oh, do you really?
I do. I have them right next to each other, and that's obviously Pittman is going to move ahead of Laviska with this injury to T.Y. Hilton, but...
T.Y. Hilton. You just turned into Ray Charles. Hit him, tell him!
Tweak my back. So
sorry, I burped earlier.
Yeah, we're so old. What is happening to us right now?
Jesus.
But yeah, T.Y. Hilton getting hurt there. I think watch me now. I think I'm gonna move Pittman ahead of Laviska. Although, I don't know, man. I do like Laviska, and I like.
Wait,
this
I'm
offense.
Sorry. Say that again. You're gonna move Pittman above Laviska?
I am, yeah. I have them next to each other pre-T.Y. Hilton injury, so Pittman obviously has to move up a little bit, so I'm going to move Pittman ahead of him, which makes me, you know, look at what is happening in these drafts and kind of roll my eyes, and I love Laviska. I love the talent there, and like you said, they could use him more specifically around the goal line in wildcat situations. He did a lot of that at Colorado, but
I think he plays that ETN role. I think he plays a lot of.
I don't think he plays anything close.
From the wide receiver side.
But he'll get more end arounds. They'll use him in trick plays and stuff like that. And he may get some more goal line looks. But I think what people are forgetting is Laviska was banged up last year. He's hurt his whole college career. Like, the guy has had issues staying on the field before. So. That's why I'm not as high as the general public is on Laviska. So This one is kind of easy to me that I'm going to go Pittman. I go Pittman straight up. So taking this discount, this one's really easy to me.
See, I'm not a straight up guy. I really think LaVisca is going to carve out an incredibly interesting role in the team this year. I think there are some unknowns, and that's what halts me a little bit, because I love Marvin Jones. I think Marvin Jones is the number one wideout. DJ Chark is a little bit questionable on, like, you know, how impactful, but when he goes, he goes. That I think LaVisca's got a really nice floor this year, that you might be able to pull out 4 or 5 catches every single week, maybe an end around or two, and he's always doing stuff. Is it always going to be crazy impactful? I'm not so sure about that. I think that can change between Robinson and Marvin, but I think LaVisca's got this floor that also, you know, we're also playing the upside game and it limits him a little bit. Straight up, I do have LaVisca above, but if you start to implement the discount, the problem is I have Pittman and LaVisca in the same tier, because Pittman moved up a decent amount. He's in the same general range for me as, like, you know, the Curtis Samuel, Russell Gage, Will Fuller. Like, LaVisca and Pittman are both in that general vicinity of those guys. So if you're giving me a 2-round difference, and if I'm, you know, it's down to make it like hardcore decision making here, of like, I've got to commit to taking LaVisca in the 7th, or I wait 2 rounds and I take Michael Pittman, I'm going to wait. I'm going to take Michael Pittman, because he's going to carve out, he has a chance to carve out a relatively significant role. What's a little bit outside of our knowledge is, like, where Carson Wentz is going to go with this offense. And, you know, like, who is he going to be a primary target of?
And
is
he's been injury prone, you know, he's taking injury prone blows.
And that's something to consider, is how bad the quarterback play can start to happen in Indianapolis. Is Carson Wentz also going to be a primary slot guy? You know, is Paris a lot of people like Paris Campbell, so could that be the thing? If they're going to struggle with touchdowns, you know, and they get into the red zone, it could be Jonathan Taylor time, and that's where Michael Pittman can really eat. So I think there's concerns on both ends of these, but with the discount, I'm going to take Michael Pittman, and I'm going to do that with you. What say the I have the poll results. So what do you think the poll looks like?
I think it should be 70-30 Pittman, which means it's probably closer to 50-50.
So you think it should be 70-30 in favor of Michael Pittman?
Yeah,
but you're saying 50-50?
I think it's 50-50 because people love LaVisca.
Your gut is pretty close. It is 53% in favor of LaVisca. People would rather pay the 2-round difference, regardless of the injury with T.Y. Hilton, and they would rather go with LaVisca. So it's very, very interesting. 7th round over Pittman, LaVisca over Pittman. Those are your big dogs. Quick break. We've got 3 ones that were tweeted out. We'll burn through a little bit quicker, and one that we took off from the polling, but we're going to bring to you. We're still going to ask you more NFL fantasy football player debates right after this.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League,
why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey! Bogman, next up on the debates, this is a full slate of running backs, these 3, and you tweeted them all, and I moved it a little bit. So let's start with one that we were alluding to before, and I'll just read this one off. I'll set this one up, and then, you know, we'll look. I haven't looked at the results or anything, but we talked about these, and what's funny is these next 2 are actually both teammates versus each other. So it's kind of that, like, age old, like, you know, committee and what side you want to go on. Devin Singletary has been taking the snaps over Zach Moss, yet Zach Moss is still costing a round more than Singletary right now. I'm big pro team Zach Moss. I think they like to throw him the ball. I think in the red zone, he's one of the more key guys. But at the end of the day, they just don't rely on either one of these guys. Josh Allen moves this offense. He's efficient. Diggs is one of the best. And Allen loves to run. They're both cheap, though. They're both post 100. Singletary had a 114 rank, whereas Moss had a 103. So it's essentially a rank differential. So I don't know how you positioned the
I just asked straight up. because because these guys are so close, you know. And you know, if you look at running backs, it's one or two running backs difference, I'm sure, you know, because every position is being picked in that area. So I just said straight up, who'd you rather have? Singletary, because he's getting the starting job right now, the starting role right now, or Zach Moss, because obviously both these guys are still going to be used. What do you have in this?
You know, it's interesting. I'm also looking here. I wanted to give you this before. I wanted to pull up the ADP. And where? Okay, so the ADP, by the way, has Zach Moss at RB 35 on Fantasy Pros. Mid-30s across all the sites. Almost consensus. 35, 36 right there. But Singletary is down here at 39. So Singletary is a flex. Actually, he's outside of flex. Moss is the flex. You know what's really interesting about this, Boggs? I've been getting shares of Singletary. I'm not getting any shares of Zach Moss right now.
Is he going too high?
Yeah, Zach Moss. He's getting, not that he's even going too high. He's just going out of my range where I got Zach Moss in our auction, or Devin Singletary in our auction. I think I got him somewhere else as well, that I've been getting my shares of Singletary. But all things considered, I feel more comfortable about Zach Moss as a flex option. Even though Singletary is getting some of the starts, I think the important thing, it's kind of like that old San Francisco thing I told you about from a year or two ago, where Tevin Coleman would start, but then you would bring in Mostert to do the big damage. Right. I kind of think I look at it similar to that I think Zach Moss outperforms Singletary, and he's also kind of a better receiving option, especially into the goal line as well. So given all things considered straight up, still give me Zach Moss, even though I have more Singletary shares right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Zach Moss all the way in this one. It's not very close to me. I don't really care how they start the year. I'm going to care how they finish the year. And as long as Zach Moss doesn't get hurt again, he is just a better player to me than Devin Singletary is. And I don't despise or anything. And I drafted Singletary in at least one draft, I know. But I don't really see this as a competition. Obviously, the Bills do, so we have to take that into context.
I mean, they're starting Singletary.
Yeah, I know. So I just think at the end of the year, this is going to be a Zach Moss walk. So for me, it's easy Zach Moss. What do you think the polling looks like?
Ooh, I think the polling is like 60. I'm going to go 60% Moss over Singletary. If I give you an exact number, I'm going to say like 63%.
Okay. Well, if you give me your exact number, it's 63.5% Zach Moss. The 36.5.
I promise you, not looking at it. I promise you on everything that is holy, not looking at it. I nailed the 63%.
Yeah, I mean, 63.5% Zach Moss over Devin Singletary.
The best at this game. Wow. Okay. All right. You do next.
I did do context in this next one. And yeah, like you said, it's teammates. It's Mark Ingram versus Philip Lindsay here, because Mark Ingram is being treated as the number one back. He got a game skipped. You know, he hasn't played much in the preseason, but when he got out there, he was the first back on the field. He got his run. They took him out and then they put in Philip Lindsay. David Johnson famously fourth on this depth chart. Now, like you said, Burke had all that nonsense. So, I still think Philip Lindsay is the best back here, and drafters do as well, because Philip Lindsay is going in the 11th round, which isn't high, but Mark Ingram is just not being drafted. Like, if you go by his number, I think that's the 19th round. Most drafts don't even go to 19 rounds. So he's free. So the way I put this in context, I said you can take Philip Lindsay in the 11th, or you can take Mark Ingram in the last round of your draft. So if that's the context, Welsh, are you going with Lindsay or are you going with Mark Ingram?
I'm still going with Lindsay. I can't handle Mark Ingram. I'm shocked that they're giving him start.
Mark Ingram,
especially with David Johnson there and Rex Burkhead. I think this is more than ever a disaster. And, you know, as other analysts have said, and I would just tell you, sure, I agree with, just avoid the situation where you can. I honestly think Burkhead is going to make this a problem too. I think Burkhead is going to have a couple games where he vultures out touchdowns that could have gone to a David Johnson. I don't think David Johnson is done. I think Mark Ingram is more replaceable than David Johnson is. I still think Philip Lindsay is like the floor guy. So here's what I do like. I do like that Philip Lindsay is now cheaper because of how disastrous the situation was. There was a moment where you and I were talking about this, where we both recognize Philip Lindsay could, we could get out cost on him because, you know, it was like David John, as soon as David Johnson,
well, I was
wasn't
the highest
the top
ranker
guy,
on Philip Lindsay.
I know. And that,
you know, and until David Johnson wound up being fourth in the initial,
but that's
depth
what
chart.
I'm saying. That moment where David Johnson got pushed off the depth chart was the moment where, oh crap, Philip Lindsay could go buck here. And that was where I was like, I could get priced out. But what's happened is in Mark Ingram has gotten starts. Burkhead is still around. And it's a mess that Philip Lindsay has actually gone down in price. He is not as expensive. So I like making the bet on Lindsay. If anything, I might even make a bet on David Johnson late if I need it. But Philip Lindsay is the one I would pick at. If I'm in the last round, I'll take Mark Ingram there, sure. But I still kind of don't think I think he could be cut at any time. I think part of the season they could be done and he could be an inactive on game day. So I'm going to take Philip Lindsay on this.
Well, this
and
I think the voters
are going to go nuts on Philip Lindsay, regardless of the last round Ingram.
I mean, you're absolutely right on the voting. I think Mark Ingram just has a role in this team, even if he's not starting, because this is a former Ravens, you know, Cully was, you know, with the Ravens for so long. So they obviously likes him. That's why he's there. But it is, you want to take a guess on how ridiculously lopsided it is.
I'll bet 81% in favor of Lindsay.
You always compliment me on these. You are crushing these today. 83%.
I almost said 83. I was going to say 83. I wish I had done that.
83% for Philip Lindsay versus 17% for Mark Ingram. So I like Lindsay, but he has started to go a little bit high in the slow drafts that we've been doing. So I think I have Mark Ingram in three of those four entry leagues, yeah, just because I'm getting him in like round 15 of a 16 man league. So I'll take him there.
I'll do this last one. I'll do the setup here. This is one you really wanted to do, and I pushed you on it. I pushed you because you were like, I don't want to go up against this guy. But we've been having a big conversation. And again, if you're getting the theme, these are all very themed out to like the last couple of weeks of the preseason and kind of weird draft questions. Michael Carter is someone that is heavy on your mind. And I think there are some people out there with you that think the cost might be too much. And Carter's not running with the ones or even twos. He's not really doing too much yet. He's still costing a heavy penny. You know, I would make an argument that like him and Trey Sermon might be two of the most overrated, you know, costs right now in fantasy. But I know, I mean, listen, Trey Sermon's, you know, my own team and I love the 49ers, but I just don't think Mostert is done. Though what'll happen, like everybody, people will be like, oh yeah, I took Trey Sermon at 55 in week 9 when he's now getting the run and they'll claim a win. And it's not really a win in week 9 if you took a guy, you know, as your RB2, but I digress. Michael Carter is costing a lot with very little return right now. And the only thing I think that is helping people is that there's just not a lot in front of him. So you've had a major question about that. And we're pitting him up against one of your favorite guys who also does not have a guaranteed spot except in a form of rotation on a really bad team. Michael Carter, 93 is his rank versus Jamal Williams, who has a 108 rank. So what was the context here? Did you say Michael Carter in the 8th and Jamal Williams in like the 9th?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Okay. Michael Carter as an 8th, Jamal Williams as a 9th.
So what say you? This is your toughest thing. You're not the biggest Michael Carter guy on the planet. You're a huge Jamal Williams guy, but this is like floor versus the upside play for this season.
I mean, I have them 3 spots different from each other. So they are really close to my rankings because look, yes, they're going to start with the 3-headed monster in New York of Ty Johnson and Tevin Coleman and Michael Carter. And Michael Carter is probably going to start as the 3rd guy in that group. So I hate that. You know, it's not fun to see that type of nonsense because, you know, the guy that we want is going to have to earn it. But I do think he's going to earn it over those guys. I obviously have him over both those guys. Jamal Williams is one of my favorites. He's not one of my personal favorites. When he got drafted with Aaron Jones, I always said I thought Aaron Jones was better, and obviously he is. So I like Jamal Williams for fantasy this year because Anthony Lynn, the OC of the Lions, is obsessed with him and loves him. And like from the jump when they signed him, said that he is going to be a 1A to 1B with DeAndre Swift. They're both going to be involved. And if you're the Lions and your defense sucks and your quarterback is Jared Goff and you have no wide receivers, you're going to want to run the ball and control the clock as much as you possibly can. And Jamal Williams is that kind of guy.
He's definitely the control guy. He's not that they're going to be controlling the clock at all this season.
I mean, they're going to try to. So he is going to have a role.
You know, and try in one hand. And
yeah, I know. But he's also going to be their goal line back as well. So, I really like Jamal Williams for this year. So for me, this one is going to be Jamal Williams. But I have them in the same tier. I only have them three spots different from each other as among running backs. So I like both of them. So I
get a discount on Jamal. So what do you?
Yeah, I'm taking Jamal. I mean, Jamal ahead. So of Carter. So taking the round.
I thought you were building it in the other way.
No. Okay, taking the round difference. It's easy Jamal for me in this debate, but I do like both these guys. So I just think that Carter keeps going. Carter will go above like your boy Mostert or above Melvin Gordon and guys like that. And I can't be on board with that.
Well, I mean, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with some of those. I mean, I have Mostert specifically high. I think this one is tough because, to your point, I think through a lot of the draft season, I've been kind of underrating Jamal Williams a little bit, especially in how much run he could get with this team. This team could pull, a similar Jacksonville situation where I always thought James Robinson was going to get run, but DeAndre Swift, he doesn't need 25 touches. You can give him 12 or 13 carries, and then you can also let him catch four or five balls. And he's a huge playmaker, and he's going to score touchdowns.
Swift is not this level of player, but you compare his role to Alvin Kamara's, where he's not going to need 25 touches.
Yeah,
you give him 15, he's going to make some plays.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to look what I have not looked at this, but I was just about to say this. Like, I don't think it's asinine to say that Jamal Williams could push 200 carries this year.
Yeah.
I really don't. And he's projected at 140. So it's on the light side on Fantasy Pros at least, but I don't think that's crazy to think that he could have more carries than DeAndre Swift, but Swift could, outscore him and can obviously catch a ton more balls. So I think that's in play, but I really, truly do not believe Tevin Coleman can hold up for the year. I think Michael Carter is going to go. The preseason is it's a definite time for teams to throw depth charts in players' face to make them bump up. I mean, look at Ramondre Stevenson early on. Ramondre Stevenson, I think, could end up being a freaking steal. I would not be shocked if Ramondre Stevenson outtakes the job from Damian Harris at some point this year or becomes a primary guy. And I think a similar thing can happen with Michael Carter where I think the plus side, and I don't know this for a fact, but I think a lot of this could have lowered his value, which is what we want. And I think he's moving into the range where if you can get him at flex, it's a big payoff because you can throw, because wide receivers are dropping, you can throw in a wide receiver at flex for a couple of weeks until Michael Carter starts getting going. And then when he gets going, he has the potential to be a low end RB2. So I'm going to take the upside here, even though I do think Jamal Williams is safer. And I think there are situations where you could draft him on your team and it makes more sense. But I think Michael Carter does have that back end upside, and you don't have to pay like what you're paying with Trey Sermon. Like Trey Sermon's like a ridiculous cost. Now, will I take Michael Carter in context of like over Mostert and stuff? No, I won't. But what was the poll question? What were the rounds? Did you get context around?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we already said it too. It was eighth for Carter and ninth for Williams.
Yeah. Eighth for Carter for sure. If I don't have to pay a whole bunch more, what was the voting? I want to say it's probably, I think it's super close. I think it's like 54% Michael Carter.
Well, you got the percentage dead on, but you did flip them. It's 54.5% Jamal Williams to 45.5% Michael Carter.
Okay, that's a pretty good one. The last one we don't have a poll on, and we decided to not because I think this injury is going to skew it, but this is one we found fascinating. So when we were looking at ADP for quarterbacks on Fantasy Pros, Trey Lance came in as the 20th quarterback being drafted. And we have seen instances where he has been number 13 or 14 in leagues.
Yeah.
But his ADP average across all the leagues that Fantasy Pros aggregates was the 20th quarterback. So you got to figure in Superflex territory, the 21st quarterback was Tua Tagovailoa. And Bogman and I were both like, what? The overall on Trey Lance is 142. Tua is 159 And MFL, FFC, and Sleeper all have Trey Lance over Tua. Now, we know Trey Lance is going to miss a week with the chip in his finger. We know there's going to be packages. And we know at some point he's going to take over the job. But when you're talking about this territory, you are talking about a quarterback too. And Bogman, are you taking Trey Lance, who already has an injury, and regardless of the injury, you need to put that in play, who does not have the necessary starting job, over Tua Tagovailoa, who's got some great wide receiver options? They got a committee of wide running backs. I mean, they're not a horrible team at all. It's a pretty good setup here. Maybe the Watson stuff has been looming, but Trey Lance over Tua?
And no, I mean, I don't understand this at all. I guess I understand the risk that people want to take. And really, it's, you know, it's Lamar and guys like Patrick Mahomes coming out and just putting up these unbelievable seasons that makes people want to be in on these young guys with all this potential, specifically the running potential that Trey Lance has and that Justin Fields has. And people don't understand that, you know, Trevor Lawrence ran for more rushing yards than Justin Fields did last year, but I digress on that point. There's no way I could go with Trey Lance because I don't know what I'm with you. I think, and with most people, I think he's going to get the starting job over Jimmy G at some point this year. You don't draft a guy that high to not start him eventually, but he doesn't have it right now. When is he going to get it? You know, if the Niners are undefeated 8 weeks through the season, they're not changing quarterbacks. You know, I don't see them doing that. And this is a good squad. So I don't know when Trey Lance is going to get that job. So give me the dude with the guaranteed job the whole year.
Yeah, there's the preemptive class of people. It's really big in fantasy, and it does work. And you have to do it sometimes. It's kind of like the Michael Carter thing. It's kind of like, you know, why I wish like Trey Sermon was cheaper. We've talked about it with rookies where it's like, okay, this guy doesn't have the gig. But if you get to week 5 or 6 and he takes over, this is a good price. But what's not great is when you have to pay starter costs for those type of players. So the rub is you've got to be able to find a replacement in that time. So here's where I'm going with this. With Trey Lance and with the Trey Lance situation and Tua Tagovailoa is let's assume we're talking super flex here because we don't care about quarterbacks in their 20s in a single quarterback league. You have both of these guys. Is Tua, because what this is starting to tell me, take away for a minute the people trying to get Trey Lance for the coming year. Is Tua's talent not good enough? Is Tua as a quarterback not going to put up fantasy points where it's so worthwhile taking a guy that's without a job? Because when I look at this, this to me says more about Tua than it does Trey Lance. I know everybody wants Trey Lance and stuff, but you got to ask yourself, are you comfortable with the fantasy output of Tua, who can run, who can throw? He's got some really good options there in Waddle and Devontae Parker. They've got some decent running backs.
Will Fuller, too.
Is 10 games of Trey Lance better than a full season of Tua, especially if you're in the context of a quarterback two in Superflex? And I find that hard to believe. I think Trey Lance is going to be a good quarterback, but... And it's a great team that's very run heavy, and he's shown some really good signs in the preseason. But like, will those 10 games be better, so much better than eating the early lack of production? And is it going to be better than Tua? And if you take Trey Lance as a 20th quarterback, you got to then double tap and take who? You know, who's the other? Ryan Fitzpatrick? Like, is that a better option? I find that hard to believe in making the bet on a rookie quarterback. I never like to do it. So I'm going to go with Tua. I just don't get in Dynasty. I just took him in our Keeper Snake League. I took Trey Lance and I've got him in our 3-sport. I just don't get it this season why I need to have Trey Lance, why I need to make that bet, why people are taking him at 12 and 13. Why? Because the Niners will protect him so much. It's just kind of limited. So give me Tua. I think Tua is being underrated, maybe even more than Trey Lance is being overrated here. And that's right. What jumps out to me.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you on that. You know, you said all of the targets, the guy's going to have the job the whole year. It just doesn't make much sense. And remember, look, Patrick Mahomes was probably better than Alex Smith that whole first year that they played. But the Chiefs were winning games, so they kept Alex Smith on the field. Would it be that much would it be that surprising to see the Niners do the same if they're winning games with Jimmy G? So
especially, you know, by the way, what if they find a good rhythm? What if they find a rhythm of packaging quarterbacks? Like, why are they going to change that? What's going to be the element of moving it? What if, you know, Trey Lance can come in on certain series and those are successful? Are they going to say, well, let's get Jimmy out of there? No, you're keeping a fresh legged and armed Trey Lance who's not being beat down by the rigors of figuring out the NFL and blitz packages an entire game. It's very short stints where they can control it. Hey, you're coming in here. By the way, here are the plays we're going to do when you come in. You're going to come in for four plays. Here's exact. They can script it full on every single time he comes in. I think it's just a good way to treat a rookie quarterback, but that doesn't make him a starter. And I'm going to go with Tua. And I'm curious. I kind of wanted to put the poll out, but we decided this before the whole chip in his finger came out, but I felt the chip was going to screw up the polling.
Yeah. I mean, any recent news would definitely have done that.
And the drafts don't show this. The drafts, like, Trey Lance is going above. It's crazy. But guys, that is it. I'd be curious at your take on this episode on the tweet. If you guys want to respond, which one you would take, Trey or Tua, or any comments, please drop it there. What is coming up later this week? We left it as a mystery. Oh, one final mock draft. That's right. We have another mock draft, but it is the money jar.
The swear jar.
The swear jar mock draft, where it is uncensored. Any curse that comes over the airwaves is going to be there. There's not going to be any clips put in. But for every curse, $10 goes into the swear jar. For Bogman or I, every curse that goes in is in the swear jar. So an uncensored final mock draft is what is coming up this week. And we will not do it on ESPN anywhere. But you can't do Yahoo anymore, can you?
I think I've cleared some stuff. I should.
Perfect. Let's go back to Yahoo, please. We'll do it on Yahoo, a 12-team PPR with flex for final draft prep. And there's money on the line, because if we curse, it's going in and dollar bills, y'all. So that should be a lot of fun. Reminder, next week is the regular season setup. The Monday episode, or the first episode of the week, it might not be Monday, because we'll do Mondays coming off of the games, but this one might not be like early morning. That one is going to be the predictions. We're going to make like statistical crazy predictions. We're going to do season predictions, our chicken bets. It's going to be a fun predictive show for the season. But then the Thursday episode will be the first in-season podcast. And we are going to be going through our favorite plays of the week. We're going to be taking your voicemails, which I hope you guys send in thisleague@gmail.com. Just record yourself 60 seconds or less. And we got a brand new segment called the Cheat Sheet, where it's going to be a whole bunch of just exploitable matchups that Bogman has identified, some bets and some DFS plays from both of us. So that's going to be that. We've got some of the top plays, a cheat sheet, voicemails, and all the things to prep for you for week one as we get into action, Bogman. I'm very excited. I'm very, very
so excited. And I just can't hide it. Let's go. I'm about to lose control. I think I like it.
Yeah, I think I do too. Patreon.com/ITL Army. If you guys want to support us, you want to have a awesome community to hang with during the football season, and you want to get the stuff. Ranks are there. I mean, $5 is going to get you access to the ranks and the streams, to be honest with you. A couple bit more will get you in on the GroupMe rooms, which the start and sit room is awesome on Sundays. And we just got a bunch of fun stuff there. So we hope you guys would consider hanging out with us in September and further months. That is it. Good luck to all for whatever drafts you might be doing this week. We got you covered, and we will see you on Friday for the next mock draft. Bye. We're out of here. See ya.
Spoiler.